News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We start hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment. It was produced by the beautiful Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance, and it's about Hardin's last court case.
Hardin's last court hearing. It's early morning, Sunday, August 27th, 1995, and the great-grandchildren of John Wesley Hardin and Jane Bowen Hardin, Hardin's first wife, arrive at Concordia Cemetery with all intentions of disinterring the remains of Hardin and reburying him with his wife Jane in a cemetery at Nixon, Texas. But at Hardin's gravesite, the group is served with a handwritten court order prohibiting them from removing the remains of Hardin, and begins the court battle known as Billings versus Concordia Heritage Association, which ended with Hardin's descendants losing the case. The family ceased their activities and returned home and have not been heard from again. Here's an interesting quote from the court's Chief Justice Barajas. It is ironic that John Wesley Hardin himself, a practicing attorney, if confronted with similar facts, would have been duty-bound to advise any client seeking his legal advice that the mandatory venue provision required the filing of a similar action in the county of residence of the defendants, which the Hardin's family had not done.
More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Isn't that ironic? It was 100 years and just a few days from when Hardin actually was killed on the 19th, and I think that's kind of ironic. I think what they wanted to take him back as more of a tourist attraction, wasn't it?
Yeah, they planned on getting him and his first wife together in a kind of a mausoleum museum.
Yeah.
And it fell through.
It's my understanding they were going to charge admission to it.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But, you know, I think it's kind of ironic. Here, you're looking at these people down there, looking at him as being a tourist attraction, you know. And he is one of the most visited sites in El Paso. It's amazing how many people come through Concordia just to see him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, Well, you know, one thing we need to do, and I want to get back to that, is also our second hour. We have a trivia contest, so we need to go through that because we need to give away some more prizes. So we have Pepe's, the $20 gift certificate, and we also have a El Paso Gold DVD. You have a choice on that. So you have the questions, Rod. What do you want to do on that one?
Okay, let's go ahead with the two questions, and they will come up. We'll wait until about halfway through the show to answer them. First question, when was the first recorded gunfight in El Paso? And the second one, what April 1881 El Paso gunfight was the most famous?
Was it more famous than the OK Corral?
People argue that.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we could, that could be one that could be a reference to. But we'll go into that a little bit later because we're going to talk more about gunfights after we wrap up on Concordia Cemetery. So just think about those, gang. Okay, what we do is we kind of wrap up on Concordia real quick, and then we're going to go into gunfighting. So where were we at, gentlemen?
Well, Hardin and Beulah.
Ah-ha-ha.
What happened with you two?
Yeah, that no good film arose.
You've got your mic's not working, Craig.
My mic is not working.
There you go. Is it working now? Can you hear me now? Now it's working.
It
I got a thumbs up from the control lab.
Yay!
Okay. You got some of the worst luck with mics in here.
I do. I've never liked the name.
The mics are scared of you, Hardin.
There you go. Yeah, well, they should be, justifiably. Yeah, that no good Beulah Moreau's, you know, she started to drink and she just couldn't control her alcohol. like me, I could control it. You know, we got into a few altercations that really started because of her cavorting around town, and I think that Doc there will tell you a little bit about the one little altercation we had after I got back, and she had been arrested by a no good John Selman Jr.
Well, yeah, you were out of town, and she was bored, as she said, and she went downtown to one of the saloons and started drinking, and, well, she pulled a gun and started shooting it in the air, which was illegal to do in El Paso, still is, I think. And she was arrested by Constable John Selman Jr., thrown in jail, fined $50.
That's the rub. Yeah. $50
she was
way too much. $50. Yeah. Now, I'll deal with Beulah regarding her drinking and cavorting, but the $50, I'm going to have to deal with the Selman family.
Yes. And what did you do?
I did. I confronted John on the streets there.
But not John Jr.
No, the senior.
Yeah.
The old man, or Papa John, as they called him. Yeah. He was worse than John Jr., and I have a feeling that John Sr. had something to do with, well, he was gunning for me. He wanted to make a name for himself because his reputation kind of waned after the little situation he had there behind Etta Clark's house of ill repute.
Yes.
Yeah, and who was it that slashed his neck? I want to know that, too. They didn't do a good enough job.
Apparently.
Yeah, because he survived that.
That was rather vindictive.
Yeah, I mean, he killed me.
Well, yeah, but not before that. He hadn't killed you.
It was a premonition.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, us gunfighters have those premonitions.
And so you confronted him on, what, the afternoon of August 19th?
On San Antonio. Yes, I did. I wanted to have it right there.
Yeah.
You know, have
well, why didn't you?
Well, he had a gun and I didn't.
Well, right. You without a gun?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like well, who believes that?
That's what I told him.
Like who believes that?
That's what I told him.
I
was not healed, as I told him. And so I guess John just couldn't deal with that, because later on that evening, after I'd had a few beverages at a few different houses of alcohol.
Beverages,
yes. And I was sitting there with Merchant Brown. I mean, the gentleman was a nice man, and we were throwing dice in there, playing ship captain.
Where was
crew
that?
At the Acme Saloon.
Yes, on San Antonio
on
Street?
On San Antonio Street, yes. Yeah, go figure. Now it's a dress shop.
Mm.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
What can I say?
It's been many things.
It has. But needless to say, I'm in there shooting dice for drinks, and out of nowhere comes John Selman Sr., decides that it's time for me to meet my maker, and dispatches lead poisoning on me.
Yep. Shot you in the head.
He shot at me four times, hit me three.
Yep.
It got me in the head. I was dead.
Yeah.
Then he proceeded to put two more rounds into me and missed one.
But didn't he say it was self-defense?
He was yes. Harden looked him in the eye. Harden looked him in the eye. That was his defense.
Yeah, through the mirror.
Well.
Details.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he could have shot you. It could have ricocheted off the mirror.
Well, the man should have kept his wits about him, because all day, all afternoon, from what I understand, he was sitting on different places around there, and when I ended up in the Acme Saloon, he was sitting on a keg out front.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually convinced by someone that he really didn't need to do this, didn't need to accost me one more time. But evidently that argument failed, because he went back and walked right into the saloon and said, adios, amigo.
Right.
What was it the coroner said? If he shot him?
Well, yes.
Yes.
There's some dispute as to whether Selman shot him in the back of the head or the front.
Yes, yes. And what did the coroner say?
I can't remember the whole quote exactly.
The coroner said, if he shot him in the back of the head, it was good judgment. If he shot him in the front, it was good marksmanship.
It's generally believed he was shot in the back of the head and the bullet passed through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like...
But Selman was arrested and charged with murder.
Yes, he was.
And he was defended by none other than Albert
Fall.
Bacon
Fall.
Oh, yes.
The Johnny Cochran of his day.
If the gun fits,
if the gun fits, he quits.
Yes. Fall and his whole defense was self-defense. Harden looked me in the eye, Selman said. And Fall went to the Acme Saloon, stood right about where Selman stood, and there was a guy at the bar standing right about where Harden had been standing. And there's a big old mirror behind the bar, and the guy standing at the bar looked up, and his eyes and Fall's eyes did meet through the mirror, looked him in the eye.
And he shot him in the back.
Dang right. Dang back shooter. And Selman was put on trial. It was a hung jury.
Mm-hmm.
It was either nine
a
to
hung jury?
They should have hung them all.
Well, probably. But the vote, as I understand, was either 9-3 or 10-2 for acquittal.
Oh, wow.
And before they could retry, Selman himself was killed on Easter morning.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
April 6, 1896, outside the Wigwam Saloon.
Mm-hmm. My, my, my.
On San Antonio Street.
Yep.
Well, then when was Scarborough was killed later on, too?
Later that year.
But it was within the same year.
Scarborough got in a little verbal altercation with Selman. Selman was drunk.
And Scarborough killed...
Selman.
Was one of three that killed Mr.
Selman.
Morose.
And with Morose, that's right. Yeah, it was just that kind of like that circle of people.
They were... Selman wanted Scarborough to help him get his son, Selman Jr., out of a Juarez jail. Apparently, Selman Jr. Was carrying on with a young lady in Juarez.
Happened to be a judge's daughter?
Yeah, and the judge didn't care for it.
No.
He's sitting in a Juarez jail, and Selman wants Scarborough to help get him out. Scarborough said he would, but then they got into a verbal altercation. Selman was drunk, pulled his gun on Scarborough. Scarborough was not drunk.
Oh.
Yeah, Easter morning, April 6, 1896.
And Peter Cottontail came along. And that was the end of
But Selman did not rise from the dead.
He did not. And now the two are buried. Selman and Hardin are buried roughly 200 yards apart in Concordia.
Yeah, that's right. Because Selman's grave was found how long ago? That was not known for a while.
No, it wasn't. According to the newspaper accounts at the time, Selman was buried in the Catholic section of Concordia, presumably what was called the American Catholic section.
Right.
But at some point, apparently, he was reburied next to one of the pallbearers at his funeral. And a Concordia volunteer, was looking for the pallbearer, who was a veteran. She was looking for veterans' graves. And she found that grave. Now, there's a headstone there. And she happened to notice a piece of slab, something sticking out of the ground, very near to the grave she was looking for, and she kind of swept the dirt away, and the headstone said John Selman.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Selman's grave was found. So apparently he was disinterred and buried next to this pallbearer, and a new headstone was made and put in, and that was dedicated 1996.
I hope it wasn't 18 because I was there.
That was like
1996, 7, somewhere in there, 8. Yeah.
By the organization, the Western...
Outlaws, Lawmen...
Western Outlaws and Lawmen Association.
Yeah, because we did a show for them.
Yeah.
They were here. There was a little ceremony for the new headstone, and there was an article in the newspaper.
Six Guys of Shady Ladies. That was one of the first bigger shows we did for the writers, and they're all like, you know, old West writers, that was a big thing for us.
One of the things I would really like to do as a member of the Concordia Heritage Association and as a historian is to find out the original burial location of John Selman.
Can't find it in the records?
No, it's not in the records. He was buried in the Catholic section, and our Catholic records only go back to 1912.
Oh.
So that was.
So we need to get hold of the diocese. Yeah,
go see Bishop Seitz. Hey, while you're at it.
Yeah.
But, so that this is a thing I have that I must do.
Okay, so now we've come to the end of the story, basically. Yeah. You've killed off Selman, and now Beulah's on her way. She's long gone.
But the story continues. Yes.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, there's been a whole lot of misrepresentations of me in the movies going forward.
Well, I know.
Yeah, they make you too nice.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that at Concordia, you know?
And the only movie that they made about me was made in 1953. Rock Hudson played me.
Ooh.
Which was the worst movie in the world.
Well.
Yeah, True West Magazine sent me an invitation to address...
Well, what was that Frank Sinatra movie you were in? Dirty Dingus McGee.
Yeah, that one too. Yeah.
Jack Elam.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the spitting image of me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Spitting being the optimum word. I got an invitation to submit my suggestions for the worst cowboy movies ever made, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
The
53 one? The 53 one, We watched it, and at the end of the movie, John Wesley Hardin rides off on a buckboard with his wife and his son.
Huh?
From El Paso.
Very nice.
Yes. Well, hey, you know, they missed him, actually. It really wasn't him that was shot. Okay, let's quickly, the Concordia Cemetery, is this coming soon?
A week from today, August 19,
right.
122 years to the day, Hardin was killed, Concordia Cemetery. Gates open at 6 o'clock, go in the Yandell entrance. The show will begin about 7. bring a folding chair to sit in. Avoid open-toe shoes because of all the rocks and cacti. There'll be a raffle drawing. You can buy raffle tickets. There'll be a host to Harden at the end. It will end about 9:30. And ghost tour.
Okay, and you go ConcordiaCemetery.com and you can check it out on the webpage there, or go to the Concordia Cemetery Facebook page and check it out. We got more information there. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back to talk about gunfights. Rod,
bang,
give us
bang,
the phone
bang,
number.
Bang, bang, bang.
915.
This weekend's trip is known as the Van Horn Loop, and our hogs are headed to that playground of the stars, Van Horn, Texas. From the Tumbleweed Mini Golf to the Texas-shaped waffle iron at the El Capitan Hotel, this weekend we're going to party like it's 1939. If it feels like for a moment time is standing still, that's because it actually is. It turns out that Van Horn is the westernmost tip of the Central Time Zone. From there, it's up to Del City, where the good news is that in 1948 they finally struck water. The discovery of the underground water supply by oil prospectors attracted farmers, which is why Dell City's name is a reference to the nursery rhyme, The Farmer and the Dell. Owning a Harley is a lot like surfing the web. You find out all kinds of things you don't really need to know. But here's one thing you do need to know. You can get your new Harley at Barnett Harley Davidson or surf the web at barnettharley.com. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Paid for by Open Jar.
Attention! If you received a metal-on-metal hip implant and you've experienced complications or need a revision surgery, you may be entitled to significant financial compensation. Injuries from metal-on-metal hip implants can include metallosis, loosening of parts, pain, difficulty in walking, and other problems. Manufacturers have set aside billions of dollars to settle these legal claims. You are not alone. Thousands of hip implant patients have received recalls for their hip replacement device and are suffering painful side effects. If you received a metal-on-metal hip implant and have suffered injuries or underwent a revision surgery to correct the issue, call the Hip Implant Helpline now at 800-846-1313. Experience matters. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. The consultation is free, and you'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call 800-846-1313. 800-846-1313. 800-846-1313.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text SCHOOL to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 88% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, text SCHOOL to 35517. That's SCHOOL to 35517.
If you're over 50, listen carefully. Do you have trouble remembering names, where you put your keys, or where you parked your car? Even simple facts that you should remember but just can't? By age 50, the average person has lost half of their short-term memory, and it only gets worse. Don't ignore the warning signs of age-related memory loss. Call now to receive a free 30-day supply of Cibria, the best-selling non-prescription memory formula supported by 20 years of memory research. A scientific study shows that Cibria can boost your memory within just 30 days. Just call 1-800-990-7765 to get started.
I saw myself go from forgetting people's names, forgetting phone numbers, forgetting you name it, I don't know, to having it all at my fingertips.
Get your free bottle of Cibria, 1-800-990-7765, or order online at freememoryoffer.com. One free month per household. Don't wait. Call 1-800-990-7765 or go to freememoryoffer.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive.
Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, welcome back to the El Paso History Radio Show, and I've got Rod Linkinson here this week. He's helping us with the show because Jackson's off this week, but I think we're pretty much back to normal, if you can call us normal. Next week, our show is going to be, the normal crew will be back here, if you can call Jackson and I normal, unless we win the lottery. That's one thing. If we win the lottery, we'll still be here because we're going to put everything into this town to make us a really old west town. How's that?
I didn't win last night.
I know. Somebody in Illinois, if we can find them, maybe we can move them to El Paso. Next week's show is going to be Felipe Solis and Roy Ortega, which ought to be a pretty good show. They're going to be talking about El Paso broadcasting history that they've seen, and they've both been around quite a while, so that'll be some really interesting history. They know where the bodies are buried, you know. And then August 26th, we've got Spring Fire in here, and a lot of people know about Spring Fire. They were a wonderful group. We learned about them when we first came to El Paso. An amazing group, entertaining us all get out. They're going to be on talking about their hands-on in history of music here in El Paso and the things that they did and their events and how it was all an exciting El Paso music history back then. And then on September 2nd, we're going to be celebrating our mountains again with Jim Tolbert. And in the second hour, we're going to have Robert E. McKee and how he influenced, you know, El Paso with his building and, you know, the big contracting company, what they did. And that September 9th, we're talking Chuck Wagon Cooking.
Wow.
And yeah, you like this. Chuck Wagon Cooking award-winning experts are Wayne Kalk and Harry Skip Clark will be in to talk with us both hours. And we're going to be talking about the history of the Cowboy Chuck Wagon Cooking and Chuck Wagon Cooking competitions and what it's all about. I mean, that's a lot of people don't realize that. So that's going to be an interesting few weeks coming up.
Going to have samples?
I wish I could get it. They're not going to be able to get the Chuck Wagon in here, you know, but they are quite good cooks. I've been at events they have catered, and they are pretty much pretty good guys. So, all right, now we're going to be talking about gunfights. And Rod Linkus, he's a gun expert in his own right. He was out at the Day of the Cowboy, had a wonderful exhibit of guns, even though it was pouring rain on us. But he stayed on with his guns, and it was really fascinating. So you had a list here of all the different gunfights.
Oh, no, that's not even close to
that. No. I know, they were just touching on it. And that's why I said, it's time for the cowboy cave, you know, talking about the gunfights. And El Paso was an insane cowboy shooting capital. We were talking during the break. Yeah. How many gunfights went on here? It makes Tombstone look like a sleepy little town.
Well, you know, it's really funny. If you look at it, the first recorded gunfight was Ben Dowell, in 1855, shooting somebody back out of the saloon as they came in to try and assassinate him.
Well, get out.
And then
they stole his horse.
Yeah, he had.
Yeah.
The last one that I can find that is really a gunfight of like the Old West was when El Fuego Baca killed a guy in the streets after the guy shot him in the thigh.
And he was in his, what, he was in his
71.
71, yeah.
And
he was a wild guy.
He went to his lawyer, got his leg fixed up, called the police, and he got away with self-defense on it.
Yeah.
So we've got 1855 is the first gunfight at Ben Dowell Saloon, 1915 downtown El Paso.
And El Fuego Baca, Walt Disney used to have a TV show on him. I remember watching him as a kid.
Nine Lives of El Fuego Baca.
Exactly. I mean, he was a character.
Robert Loggia,
played him. Yes, Robert Loggia. So that's really great. Well, then, when did this really start happening? I mean, because a lot of people think it all kind of, well, I think it accelerated in the late 80s, but a lot of this was going on way before the railroad got here.
Oh, yeah. You had the San Elizario Salt Wars, when first big event in that was when Mr. Howard killed Mr. Cardiz with a shotgun in Solomon Schutz's store.
Oh, okay.
And that was October 10th, 1877.
Jeez. But why would he, I mean, but now that wasn't really a gunfight. He just...
Yeah. Well, most of the gunfights weren't gunfights. They were
just somebody
killings.
Getting shot.
Yeah.
Well, was he trying to rob him? Or
don't give the other guy a chance to make it a gunfight.
Yeah.
Good point.
Exactly. Basically, they had been partners in trying to take over the salt out at Guadalupe Peak, but Cardiz had finally sided with the Mexicans instead of with Howard.
Oops.
And that led up to the Salt Wars, where Howard was killed and thrown into a well.
Oh, my gosh.
Well.
A deep subject.
That's
yes,
also,
I know.
That's also the only time the Texas Rangers ever surrendered, though most people wouldn't consider the people in San L.A. Texas Rangers. They were mostly hanger-ons from El Paso.
Yeah, well, there was one that was a ranger, and he basically kind of deputized in a sense, didn't he?
Well, Taze was given command as a sergeant, I think. I can't remember his first name. And then he recruited all the dredges of society in El Paso to go down there.
Is that Joseph Taze?
Yes.
Joseph Taze. His brother was Father Taze, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's names that you see that are connected to other parts of history. Yeah, and like you said, that was the only time the Texas Rangers ever surrendered, wasn't it?
Yeah.
1877.
Oh, we got somebody has a... Johnny has a question online. Hold on a second here. Okay. Morning, Johnny. You have a question.
It's me again.
Hi.
A quick question. In the culture of Hollywood, you know, we know a lot of us are... Western fans and so forth, and I'm just going to knock a couple of names off the top of my head and ask you how they may have fared in the old days had they been Cowboys. John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, Kirk Douglas, and, Alan Ladd, so forth. Do you think those guys would have made it in that culture back then? If so, which one? If not,
I think Clint Eastwood would have done okay.
I think John Wayne would have too. He was a stunt guy at the beginning.
He's a football player.
And a football player, yeah.
And Clint Eastwood definitely, I think, would have done fine.
Yeah.
Kirk Douglas with athletics, yeah. So he might have done
I think
well.
He would have done fine, too. Who was the other one you mentioned?
Alan Ladd, he's famous for Shane. He didn't play that many.
Yeah, well, he was short, so he would have been underneath the bullets.
Well, you know, I remember some years ago, Leon Ness said that, when you know they would have those noon fights, street,
high
noon, high noon type things, and Leon Metz said no, didn't happen like that. So those old guys hung out in the alleys and shot people in the back and pushed them a lot. So that's why I was asking. That's why I was asking. You think our guys could have survived? I'm quite sure they were men, but they probably would have been ambushed before they made it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to stand in the middle of the street and say shoot me.
There's only one. Recorded incident of a shootout in the street, and that was in 1865 in Springfield, Missouri, Wild Bill Hickok.
Okay.
Actually, that's not true.
Uh-huh.
There were some madams in Colorado that got into a fight.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Over a man. Oh, they got into a fight over a man, and the man got shot.
Yeah,
which
we
I
tried
think
to
fine.
Do that. We tried to have our ladies do that gunfight in our group, and they refused because they would have had to do it topless.
That's the story.
Yes. No, it's just they couldn't find one of you guys that wanted to die. That's what it was. I think shooting the guy was just fine.
I believe that shootout was more of a drive-by shooting.
Yeah.
wasn't that Wild Bill Hickok that got shot in the back holding some cards or something?
In Deadwood, South Dakota.
Yeah, Dead Man's Hand.
Yeah. Okay, then. That's all I wanted to ask. I thought I'd throw a little humor.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Johnny.
I intended to listen. Thank you.
If you look at some of the pictures, the group pictures of the TV stars, you know, they take these photo shoots, you'll see the powder marks down their leg because they always thought they were cowboys and they would try to do fast draw and they end up firing the blanks and, you know, the pants were discolored, their chaps were discolored.
Or burnt,
yeah. Some of these cowboys would not have made it.
Yeah, but then there's some people. I mean, wasn't it Gary Cooper actually was a had grown up on a ranch? Wasn't it Gary Cooper that grew up on a ranch?
He was one also, and who was the who
Ben Johnson was?
Oh, Ben Johnson, yes.
Yeah.
And Randolph Scott.
Randolph Scott. Yes.
Slim Pickens. Slim Pickens was a rodeo.
Yes, Slim Pickens. Yes.
That was actually his rodeo name that he adopted, so his father wouldn't know that he was riding in the rodeo.
Really, I didn't know that one yet because he used to live. Two doors down from a friend of mine in Thousand Oaks, where I went to school. And we used to see him when he'd be leaving to go to do his TV show. I can't remember what the TV show was going. I was like, hey, Slim. He's like, hey, kids. Yes. He was a tall, lanky
guy.
Was
that in the 60s?
That was, late 60s.
It might have been when
he
was in the TV show Custer.
Custer, that's right. Yeah, he was a nice guy, though. He's like, kids are like, ooh. Yeah, like, little store.
It was Slim Pickens.
It was Slim Pickens, you know.
That was my paycheck. Slim pickings.
Okay, well, let's get back to gunfights.
Albert mentioned something during the hour break, and that is it seems that April was the most dangerous month in El Paso when it came to gunfights. And I've got, what, seven here, or six here listed on this list I made up.
And one that's not on there.
Uh-huh. Which one's that?
That's April, mid-April 1885. Wyatt Earp himself was in El Paso.
Yeah.
He was in the, stayed at the Pearson Hotel. The Pearson Hotel would publish in the newspaper the guests that checked in that day. And Wyatt Earp and wife checked in. And he was visiting some friends from Tombstone days, because this would be like 3.5 years after the OK Corral incident. Mm-hmm. And his friend was a part owner in the Gem Saloon on what is now West San Antonio Street. And that one night, he witnessed two gunfights in one night.
Mm-hmm.
Two in one night.
Sissy.
Well, the story is he was in El Paso. The town fathers were offering him the job of town marshal.
Oh, marshal? I thought it was customs.
No, marshal. And if so, Wyatt Earp turned him down.
Mm-hmm. So the town was too dangerous.
I think this is where the idea came from, where he said, oh, no, it's too dangerous.
That's after the OK Corral.
We have a caller by the name of Alan. He's got a comment. Hold on. Morning, Alan. What have you got?
Good morning, ma'am. I got a couple. You talked about actors and about an open stand-up gunfight. The two comments, actually. The actors I was going to list is Audie Murphy, James Arnaz, and Lee Marvin. These guys know how to shoot in real time.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Well, Audie Murphy was a soldier.
Very highly decorated soldier.
I don't know about James. You said James Arness. I was thinking James Garner.
I don't know. James Garner was in World War II also.
Yeah.
I think he was an infantryman. But I know James Arness was wounded as an infantry sergeant in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got combat experience. Lee Marvin was wounded as a combat marine on Iwo Jima or Tarawa. I can't remember which one.
I remember that. Yeah, he was Iwo Jima.
But James Arness probably wouldn't have done very good because he got beat to the draw every weekend.
He did. He did.
Well, hey, his man dropped dead in the street, though.
That's right.
So the other guy must have missed. Doesn't matter about the drawing.
And he was a big target,
hits
too.
Count. Only hits count. Anyway, the gunfight, you talking about a stand-up gunfight. Well, I know about the Tut and Hickok fight in Springfield, Missouri.
Yep.
That was a 75-yard shot.
75 yards. Hickok shot him in the heart at 75 yards with a cap and ball pistol.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. And don't underestimate them things. I've shot them, and you got 100 yards away. If you got the right load in it, you can put them down.
Yes.
My gosh.
But anyway.
And there are only two shots fired.
The stand-up gunfight, and you don't hear much about it, but it's actually recorded in the Placerville News in California. Did everything to a judge and everything in 1855, but the fight took place in 1854. Captain Jonathan Davis and two companions got in ambush by 14 desperados that had been robbing miners and prospectors. Davis took 6 rounds through his hat and 11 through his coat. He killed 7 with his cap and ball guns and killed 4 more with a bowie knife when they charged him with knives and a cutlass.
Jeez.
And 3 ran away.
Yeah.
And his two companions died too. So 3 ran away. He's standing on his side. 2 of his buddies, one was a doctor that died. And he killed the other guys in a hand to hand combat with a Colt percussion revolvers and a bowie knife.
They must have thought he was a ghost at that point.
Good old bowie knife.
In 1854, it was a stand up fight. So,
wow.
Anyway, that's one of the stand up fights that's recorded. So. Well, there you go.
Thank you so much, Alan. I love this.
Have a good day, ma'am.
Thank you. Take care.
All. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. Real quick, we had talked about trivia contests, and we've got, what was the question? Because we did mention this.
Two questions.
We haven't gotten to the second one
Let's
yet.
Let's go with the first one.
When was the first recorded gunfight in El Paso history?
Okay. So we did mention that one, and we're going to go give us a telephone call number where they can call us with the answer.
915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
We'll be right back.
I had like memory foams, I had feather pillows, and I'd always wake up with neck pain. After sleeping in my pillow, I didn't wake up with the headaches, I was more aligned.
I didn't realize the connection between the pillow and sleep.
When I switched to my pillow, I got a better night's sleep, and I love it.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs, and it holds that support all night long to take the pressure off your shoulders and keep your neck aligned so you get the best night's sleep of your life.
MyPillow is machine washable and dryable and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an amazing 10-year warranty. Plus, every MyPillow is made in the USA.
I personally guarantee that MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-480-1941 and use promo code IHEART. That's 50% off, plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Be part of the solution. Spay or neuter. A single unspayed cat and her descendants can produce over 420,000 kittens in just 7 years, over 11 million in just 9 years. An unspayed dog can produce 67,000 puppies in just 6 years. Spaying or neutering prevents thousands of sad endings. Call the Animal Rescue League to find out how you can make a difference by donating or adopting. The Animal Rescue League of El Paso, 915-877-5002.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-340-4214. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. John Laura.
As a dermatologist, I feel confident recommending Viviscal. It's backed by 25 years of research and multiple clinical studies that demonstrated Viviscal's effectiveness in promoting the growth of thicker, fuller hair.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-340-4214. 800-340-4214. That's 800-340-4214.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, welcome back to the El Paso History Radio Show, and we're going to be talking about the El Paso Inc. This week only in the El Paso Inc.,
Mayor D. Margo's Chief of Staff.
Ooh. NMSU President talks retirement and budget cuts.
Annual Hatch Chili Festival.
It's about time.
Or Harvest.
Yes, the
me.
Harvest. Yeah. Well, yeah. Say, yeah. Well, the same thing's going
either
on.
Way.
Yeah, that's all coming up. I can't wait to get some fresh chilies. And so you can call the El Paso Inc. for the home or business delivery at 534-4422 today. Or, well, actually, Monday. I take it back. Okay, now we've got coming up on ABC 7 Extra this Sunday at 10:30 p.m. and every Sunday, there are always interesting guests and debates on current El Paso trends and topics. And you can count on host Stephanie Guadian to ask the tough questions. Tune in to ABC 7 Extra this Sunday night and join the discussion.
This program is live and interactive. You can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7.
Okay, well, we had our trivia question, and we don't have anybody that called. So what we're going to do is throw it out there again, Rod.
I know the answer. Can I answer? Can I answer?
No.
Well, if you go out in the hall and you call and you have a different name, then you can do it. But no, you don't have a different name. We'd know who it was. So what was the question again? We'll give another shot at this.
When was the first recorded gunfight in El Paso? And you can get us at 915-544-5876. Or 544 KTSM.
There you go. Okay, well, we were going back to gunfights again. So we hardly got anywhere on this year, but yeah. July 11th, 1883?
Yeah, from what I can find, this is the first police officer killed in El Paso. And it was Assistant City Marshal Moad killed by a drunken cowboy at the Mansion House.
1883?
Yeah.
That wasn't built in 1901.
Well, that's what it says here. tell the police department that.
Well, that
I think,
police
actually,
department.
I think that happened down on Utah Street.
Yeah. Understandable. Yeah, I whenever we do these shows, I try to do research on the newspaper articles.
Yeah.
It's amazing how wrong things are.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether we're wrong or they're wrong.
Well, that was on the police website.
Yeah.
Harry Kirk.
Are you there?
Call in. Calling Harry Kirk. Because he pretty much manages a lot of that information on the website. Yeah. Could you correct that for us, please, if you're out there listening? Please, no. Well, we have John Selman. We talked about him. Oh, no, this is John Selman kills Baz Outlaw.
Yeah.
And that's 1894.
Yeah, that was at Tilly Howard's House of Ill Repute on Utah Street.
Okay, that
House
one,
of
that,
Gentlemanly that Entertainment, sir.
Whatever. Baz Outlaw was drunk. He went in the backyard, fired a shot in the air, killed a Texas Ranger.
I didn't fire the shot on purpose. My trousers fell on the ground, and the gun fell out of my trousers.
Now Baz Outlaw is sitting here. But he turned around, shot the Ranger from about 2 feet away, turned around and shot at Selman, blinded him from the blast, and then got him in the femoral artery, if I remember right.
Got him twice in the legs.
Yeah. And Bass was shot in the stomach, crawled away, spent 4 hours screaming, "Where are my friends?" before he died.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they actually took him into one of the cribs.
Yeah.
And that's where he passed. Yeah. Yes, Bass, the little, what do they call him, Lone Wolf was his nickname? Yeah. A Texas Ranger with a bad drinking habit.
No.
Yeah, got fired from Rangers and ultimately ended up in El Paso as a deputy U.S. Marshal. Yeah. And got fired from Earth, so to speak.
Yeah.
That was Baz?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We actually have somebody with an answer to the question. What is his name again we have here?
Ralph.
It's Ralph. Okay, Ralph, hold on a second. Morning, Ralph. You have the answer to the question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and what was the question again, Rod?
When was the first recorded gunfight in El Paso?
1855.
And who was it? We're going to make it. Did you know who it was?
I believe he said Dow.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, you got it. Ben Dow.
I love it when people are listening.
Okay, you got a choice for Pepe's $20 gift certificate or one of the many DVDs we have. Which would you like?
The Revolutionary Sites in El Paso.
Do we have another one?
No, we do.
Oh, we've got great. Right. All right, we have two then, right? We just had a
lunch. And I just knocked them all over. I've got it.
Okay.
I've got it.
By the way, Ben Dow buried in Concordia Cemetery?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Can I use this then since somebody took
No.
it? No.
Okay. No, we can't take those.
The first mayor of El Paso.
Well, thank you so much, Ralph. Did you have a comment or did you have a question?
I actually have a question for next weekend's Concordia deal
yes.
going on.
Okay.
Is open carry going to be allowed there?
We really...
It's county property. I don't know about that.
Well, it's county property. Normally we would say yes, but because we're using weapons out there, we try to keep other people's weapons as obscure as possible, if you can understand.
Yes. Okay. So okay. Concealed be okay.
Can't stop that.
Yeah. I mean...
Besides, we won't know unless you don't get excited.
Yeah, we won't know. Just keep it concealed during our show.
We don't know, we don't know, and you don't tell.
Great.
Okay.
We got Bill Clinton over here.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Ralph. Now you stay on the line.
Thanks, Ralph.
And lovely Evelyn will be talking to you shortly.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, there we
all
go.
Right. That's yes. like, one of the things we didn't mention is the most famous gunfight in El Paso. Some people say it was more famous than the OK Corral. Some mm-hmm. people say no. And that is the 4 Men in 5 Seconds.
Yeah.
3 days after Dallas Stoudemire became town marshal, he got involved in that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting scenario. I was sitting in the... here I am again.
Is anybody else here being possessed? Could anybody else be possessed?
I was sitting in the meeting with my relative.
Your brother-in-law.
That's right. And we were having breakfast, and this altercation took place out in the streets. And being the new town marshal, I wanted to jump to action right away and show everybody that I meant business. So I... walked out on the streets, pulled both my pistols out of the leather-bound pockets of my jacket, and opened fire. Yes.
And where did your first shot go, sir?
I took out the peanut vendor. He got in the way of that bullet, yes.
Mr. Ochoa, I believe.
Mr. Ochoa,
was.
Yes. He was...
people are allergic to peanuts, so it may have been a
civic duty. I was saving lives. Yes, I was saving lives.
You actually missed your target.
How do you know?
Granted.
From what I understand, he was running across the street.
Oh, the peanut vendor?
Trying to get out of the way.
Yeah, there was a couple stories. Yeah, he was running because he was pushed out from behind the pillar.
Yeah, that too.
He was standing behind. Somebody pushed him out and said, there's not enough room for both of us here. And he took off across the street. And, well, let's just say we had peanut butter all over the street there. And so,
oh, jeez. Well,
yes.
That's terrible.
But you didn't shoot all four of them, though.
No. It wasn't all up to me.
Johnny Hale shot the first guy.
Johnny was fairly drunk also.
Fairly, yes. Shot Gus Kremkaugh.
Yes. Johnny was the foreman at the ranch.
Yes. And Kremkaugh went down, thought that George Campbell shot him.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes down, pulls his gun, starts shooting at Campbell.
Well, Kremkaugh did a lousy interpretation of the Spanish language. I mean,
he was German.
Well, yes. And then Campbell's yelling, it's not my fight, it's not my fight. And that's when you started just throwing lead all over the place.
Yeah. Well, if you're yelling, it's not my fight, and waving a gun at the same time in the middle of a gunfight, what do you expect?
Yeah,
you're going to get shot.
Yeah, enjoy the peanuts.
Shoot now and ask questions later.
You just shot everybody in sight.
It worked. It calmed things down, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it certainly did.
But you know, that led up to 3 more gunfights also.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The Bill Johnson shoot about 3 or 4 days later.
Yeah, drunk also.
Yeah, and then Doc
Cummins. Same intersection.
Yeah.
Same intersection.
Actually, that area around the West Paso del Norte Hotel had like 7 killings within about a 10-year period.
Yeah.
Right around there.
I teach about this in one of my courses at the college, and I say that intersection, San Antonio and El Paso Street, the single most dangerous intersection in all of America.
Yep.
Still today, it is still one of the most dangerous if you're jaywalking.
Bill Johnson tried to shoot down Studenmeier and his brother-in-law with a shotgun at way too far a distance for a shotgun.
Well, who had the... Was he saved by the warrants in the pocket?
No, that came later.
That came later.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I jumped ahead of myself. I'll be quiet.
Yeah, Studenmeier got shot in the heel.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they don't know if he got shot in the heel or he shot himself in the heel. It's kind of hard to get shot in the heel from in front.
Okay, guys
are shooting from behind him, though.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be coming back to wrap up. I know, but we have to. Sergio's going to shoot. Sergio's got a gun in there, and he's going to shoot me if I don't take the break.
Everyone's pointing at us.
So, everybody, we're going to take a break now. We'll be right back.
Yeah. This weekend's trip is known as the Van Horn Loop, and our hogs are headed to that playground of the stars, Van Horn, Texas. From the Tumbleweed Mini Golf to the Texas-shaped waffle iron at the El Capitan Hotel, this weekend we're going to party like it's 1939. If it feels like for a moment time is standing still, that's because it actually is. It turns out that Van Horn is the westernmost tip of the Central Time Zone. From there, it's up to Dell City, where the good news is that in 1948, they finally struck water. The discovery of the underground water supply by oil prospectors attracted farmers, which is why Dell City's name is a reference to the nursery rhyme, The Farmer and the Dell. Owning a Harley is a lot like surfing the web. You find out all kinds of things you don't really need to know. But here's one thing you do need to know. You can get your new Harley at Barnett Harley Davidson or surf the web at barnettharley.com. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Save thousands on the Michael Phelps Swim Spas and Hot Tubs by Master Spas and build your dream backyard at the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo at Sunland Park Mall this weekend. For details, log on to BigSpaExpo.com or call 855-BIG-EXPO.
Message and data rates may apply.
What I'm going to tell you in the next 60 seconds could change your life. A college degree is more than a piece of paper or entry on your resume. A degree is an all-access pass to your future and a daily reminder of what you can accomplish. If you're thinking about going back to school but can't disrupt your life, consider Arizona State University. ASU Online offers the same high-quality education, world-renowned faculty, dedicated student support, and exceptional learning resources, all 100% online. You'll earn the same respected ASU degree as on-campus students and access a global network of over 400,000 alumni. Learn why ASU is ranked top 5 nationally for producing the best qualified graduates. Text SCHOOL to 37913. ASU Online offers over 150 degrees online, from education to healthcare, engineering, and more. Learn more about ASU Online. Text SCHOOL to 37913. That's SCHOOL 237913.
With TrueCar, you can see what others paid for the car you want so you can recognize a great deal. TrueCar users on average save over $3,000 off MSRP. For new or used cars, visit TrueCar for a more confident car buying experience.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, welcome back. We're right down to the end of the wire here on the show. So I'd like to, again, Dr. Albert Burden, please tell us again what's going on next Saturday, what time?
1 week from today, August 19th, Concordia Cemetery. We're going to reenact the events of John Wesley Hardin in El Paso. Gates open at 6. Show starts at 7.
Be there, be square. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. We have Dr. Albert Burden. We have Ken Smith. We have Bernie Sargent, John Wesley Hardin, whoever the heck he is right now.
He is everybody today.
He's everybody today. And Rod, thank you so much for coming to help filling in while Jackson's gone. I really appreciate all your help on that. And thanks for the gunfight information. We didn't get enough into it, but it was fun because we had a lot of people in here. We had a lot of calls, and it's cowboy day. So,
well, I didn't mess up too bad, so I'm glad to have been here.
Yeah,
well, I'll
good.
Come back anytime you want.
Yeah, so you know, check on us on the Facebook page. We didn't quite get everything up there today because we had problems with it with the computer, so no problem. We'll get that up later on today, but definitely check back with us next week. We're going to have some great guests next week. Felipa Solis and Ray Ortega. It'll be a very interesting show, and Felipa is full of life. She keeps us going like crazy out here. Jackson will be back in place, and so we'll be getting back into regular schedule. We had a busy summer this summer, so we don't many times get a chance. But check out the El Paso Gold DVDs on the ElPasoGold.com website, and you can also catch them on KRWG, the Las Cruces website for the PBS station, where you can see those online. You can check them out. And Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, if you need your business taken care of, you for inventory or your home, if you have a collection, a gun collection. We do gun collections.
Yes, we do.
We do. Mm-hmm. And many other great things. Our Facebook us at the El Paso History Radio Show. You can check on us there and you'll make comments or let us know if you want to go. And we're going to Pepe's today, the great New Mexican food in Canutillo. Join us out there and get to know everybody out there with us.
Don't forget the discount of the day there.
Oh, that's right. $6 on the green chili
meat enchiladas.
Meat enchiladas. We'll see you at Pepe's and come back next week.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.